You say you want a revolution. Well, you got one. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. I repeat, the revolution will not be televised. It will, however, be podcast. Thanks for being part of the 48%. Thanks for being here. You are not here by mistake. This is the right side of history. Let the revolution begin. Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Because here in the club, we all fam.
Hey, big welcome to our fam, and thanks for joining the podcast, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Back at it again. Another week, and great show is forthcoming.
Yeah, I appreciate your optimism. I assume they'll be great. They're always great-ish. And we're gaining listeners one person at a time. Slow but steady. But we're up to like 78 listeners now. So.
See, dude, it's better than an exodus, right? I mean, a following, for crying out loud.
That is fair. You can follow us on the interwebs. We got a website, thevocalminority.net. Social media is galore. And yeah, that's where the real action is always happening. TikTok, Reddit, YouTube, still our favorites. And then the other ones, most notably on the second tier, are the Blue Sky people. Blue Sky's doing well by us.
We're glad to have Blue Sky in our on our radar, rather. So, yeah, we'll continue to build that bad boy up. And thanks, everybody, for following us. You can check out our phone line. That's where you can leave a comment, you dumb bastard. Call 844-48-VOCAL and turn your telephone into a microphone.
Yes. Speaking of gaining listeners one at a time in Blue Sky, I did hear from our super fans in the middle of nowhere, Minnesota, I think they are.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They called our comment line a few times. What should we name them?
I don't
want to call them super fans.
I don't know.
How about Tom and Linda, dude? I feel like that's what I think of. Tom and Linda from Minnesota.
Okay. That works. Well, Tom and Linda wanted us to know. They really enjoyed the fart hard discussion we had about Hakeem Jeffries making some sort of Freudian slip talking about that. So
We will fart hard for the freedom to vote.
Yes, we will. We'll always fart hard for that freedom to vote, dude.
Whatever we got to do for your freedoms to vote. But I fart hard quite often. And now that there's a patriotic reason to do it, I definitely will let it fly.
Yes, percussive you are. You know, Steve farts real loud and oftentimes lifts a leg. He knows how to get the most out of his toots. And how does your girlfriend feel about it, dude? Because I know you farted in front of her, but are you up to, like, lifting your leg and really shaking one out in front of her? Or
yeah, so listen, I'm a musician, of course, so I know how to get the full range of percussiveness out of whatever my instrument is. I was never a wind instrument expert, but that's the one exception right there. So, yeah, I know how to get the bass and everything. But, yeah, it's funny you ask about Miss Kennedy because no is going to be my official answer. You know, we've broken wind. We've broken that barrier. So, we are letting some farts fly in front of each other. But it's once in a blue moon. I still do my best to be subtle. I still feel better when I hear her snoring and I can just let several go and just, you know, feel safe. But
dude, how do you know that she's not fake snoring and just listening to you boom stuff?
That would be pretty clever of her if she started doing that. But
she's a clever type.
So. Yeah, I feel pretty good. Here's the thing. I know it's not a deal breaker. I know if I just let something go flying that, you know, it's going to be fine, but I don't know. I'm a gentleman, Nick, if you haven't figured that out from the show and years of knowing me. So
yeah. I'm just wondering, dude. You know, well, we all have things we do in relationships, like we let slide, like big boomsters, little boomsters. And I wonder if you get to the point where you're an older guy now and you think to yourself, like, I'm going to respectfully, like, just toot once in a while. But I'm not going to make it a point to show my toots because it leaves a little less to be desired. I feel it paints a picture of me that I don't want painted.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm leaving a little mystery out there. Yeah, we've got many years still to come, so I've got, you know, leave something left to look forward to.
Yes, 100%. Thanks for joining the podcast, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Like the intro said, you're not here by mistake. You're part of the Vocal Minority, and here we are holding our current administration accountable for, breaking the law, which they seem to be doing constantly. This is a need-to-know news. news program, News You Need to Know. So are we ready to get right into it?
I need it. I need to know it.
This is Need to Know News. News You Need to Know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Come over here, baby. Bring that sweet ass over here.
Steve Harness. Oh.
Really making me look like a top-notch gentleman today.
Go on, that wasn't you, dude. Come on.
Of course not. That was clearly a man from the East Coast.
Yes.
Spot on, as a matter of fact. So. Okay. Yeah, so much news, as always. Where do we start on this week's Trump accountability list? I think I'll start with the most recent news. Trump has officially... Well, I mean, here's the deal. Over the weekend, Trump started a global trade war with our allies, for the most part, for what no economist can find to be any good reason.
Well, that's been being said all along, even as he campaigned and talked about these tariffs and how they would save us. Like, yep. You know, we've been talking about their crappy deal.
Yeah, and it was funny because back then it seemed somewhat comical. Like, the man doesn't know what a tariff is. Let's just ignore Grandpa Trump and assume this will never be a problem. But
right.
Oh, boy, here we are. We elected this man, and now he's got some hard on for tariffs. And you're right, he doesn't seem to know what they are. But you would agree, though, before I get into the story, that Trump was touting tariffs as some sort of genius economic move. This is a good thing. It's going to make us money. Money, money, money. That was the whole point, right?
100%. And he doubled down on it and made it sound as if they had never been done before. No one's ever done these before, and they've just been sitting here like, I'm going to use them.
Right. Meanwhile, we've all seen the clip from Ferris Bueller from the 80s where they're talking about how dumb tariffs are. I just saw a great video of Ronald Reagan talking about how tariffs only work for a very short term and are ultimately a terrible idea. And so here we are. So, yeah. So over the weekend, Trump did threaten that the tariffs are going into effect. 25% for Canada, 25% for Mexico, 10% for China. And who knows who's next on the list, really. But Trump has announced that he's going to at least temporarily delay the implementation of the 25% tariffs. And he says that in agreement, you know, for the deal here, that Mexico is going to send 10,000 troops to the border to stop immigration and fentanyl coming in. And I've been seeing megas already today be like, you see, the genius negotiator. He wasn't really going to do tariffs. Now he got 10,000 troops there. Problems are all solved. Everything is peaceful in the world.
Sure. Okay. Well, did you listen to the Mexican president talk at all? I mean,
yeah, a little bit. And I have some of Trump's quotes about the meeting and all that. But here's the funny thing. Now, first of all, Mexico has deployed troops to the border in the past without any threat of tariffs. In 2019, during Trump's administration, they sent 15,000 troops, to the northern border after pressure from Trump. But in 2021, under Biden, they also sent 10,000 troops up to the border. Again, none of that solved any of the problems of immigration or fentanyl. And I don't even know that it would, you know, I mean, but so first of all, yeah, this has happened before. As I was saying at the setup here, are tariffs some brilliant economic tool that we have to use for economic, vitality around here? Or is he using our economy to play chicken with other countries? Because we're the ones paying tariffs. Our economy, I mean, stocks already nosedived this morning. They seem to have recovered a little bit when Trump pulled back on these tariffs. Like, so was he just blustering? He saw the stocks tanking, and so now he's pulling back? Or was he really just playing chicken with our economy to try to get 10,000 troops to the border, which, again, has happened before with no great success?
I don't think he knows what he's doing. I mean, these are all things that just happen spur of the moment. You know, like, he's got a plan, but it doesn't always follow through on the plan because he's like a cat. When he sees a light, he runs this way, he runs that way. Like, I don't think he has any focus on what he's doing with these tariffs.
I don't think you can have it both ways. Either tariffs are a genius economic idea that will benefit us all, or you're using it to play chicken with other countries. To what end, I don't even know. But again, tariffs are going to get paid by the consumers. And Trump is not at a consumer level where he feel that hurt. He doesn't give a crap what the price of eggs are. Neither does Elon Musk or Ramaswamy or any of the double-digit billionaires he's got in his cabinet. So they're just playing chicken with a toy that does not affect them. And like you said, I don't even think he knows what his goal is other than to be making headlines and causing troubles. Did you see the Canadian, the hockey games and the basketball games, them all booing the American national anthem? These are our allies booing us now.
Yes. And, you know, when we talk about trade partners, like, these are two relationships with Canada and Mexico that the rest of the world looks at with envy. We've been solid with these countries for years and years, and he's just flushing it all down the toilet right now. And other countries are looking at it and thinking, well, like, what are you doing? Like, we would kill to have that trade agreement. Free trade.
I saw a good joke coming out of Germany. It said, what borders on stupidity? Canada and Mexico.
Yes, I think that is not even worthy of a rim shot, because it's true.
Because it's true, and it's sad, and we are the laughing stock. And I know that Nick and I are a couple of flaming lefty liberals. Neither of us have degrees in economics or anything, so don't take it from us. Senator Mitch McConnell, longtime iconic famous Republican, was on 60 Minutes this weekend, asked about these tariffs, and he said in his turtle voice that it will drive the cost of everything up. In other words, it'll be paid for by American consumers. I mean, why would you want to get in a fight with your allies over this? Senator Mitch McConnell just called it out.
And not only why would you want to get in a fight with your allies over this, but your number one campaign promise was bringing down prices on eggs, on gas, on everything else. Like, you're about to make it all go up.
Yes. And Trump said over this weekend that, you know, there's going to be some short-term pain. It'll benefit us in the long term, but expect some short-term pain. Again, he's talking about your short-term pain. He's not going to feel any of this.
No.
So, yeah, did you vote for him to prices go down, or did you vote for him to screw with the economy, screw with your pocketbook, so that he could play some international game of Risk, Monopoly, or whatever the hell it is? And again, we don't even know what he's trying to get out of this. Our economy's doing well. The stock market's doing well. All this is doing is screwing with all of that.
Yeah, Trump talked about the Wall Street Journal trying to justify the fact that, all these relationships with Canada, Mexico, China, and too many others to name, he said, that we're going to continue decade-long ripoffs of America. He's not even talking about, because his audience needs to hear it from him, what all these countries bring to us. And it's not like we would have ever been trading with these people on such a large scale level if they weren't doing something great for our country.
I think it was the New York Times, maybe it was the Washington Post, one of the major papers, called this the dumbest trade war in the history of trade wars, because it is completely unnecessary. Usually do tariffs in different economic situations. But, you know, again, already MAGA jumping through the hoops for him and saying, like, you know, that no, he's got some great strategy, and I don't mind paying more for my eggs and my gas for the next year or two while this all kind of gets worked out. Like,
sure.
You guys are such flip-flopping hypocrites. I know we've pointed this out a million times, but it makes me nauseous. I'm also, though, seeing, and there's an old trend out there, of Trump voters who are now starting to go, like, hey, wait a minute. My prices are going up. Wait a minute. You deported my front desk guy. Like, the old fuck around and find out is coming to fruition.
Yeah, for a lot of people. And it's going to only continue, dude, as he, you know, does more of the tariff stuff. We are going to see all these prices come up. And even the people that are like, I don't mind, you know, these prices going up, if it pays off in the long run, like, that energy is going to fade very quickly.
It's the same sort of low information voters that held the price of eggs against Biden. Like, they're not dialed into any of this stuff, the cause and effect. They just will go to the grocery store and they will get pissy and they will take it out on whoever's in office. But, you know, that's 3 years and 11 months away. You know, I mean, Trump's been in office a few weeks and it's been the longest 10 years of my life. You know what,
yes,
I mean? Like,
right.
That's how it feels. So, God. Here we go. Fuck around and find out. For those of you that wanted to find out, you're finding out. So congratulations.
The Mexican president, she was talking about, you know what? The fact of the matter is that if you want to talk about people rushing across the border and you want to talk about fentanyl, why don't you get charge of people abusing drugs in America and how freely they do it, and have some programs set up so people won't want to buy drugs and become addicted so easily. And number two, I think, I can't remember the exact figure, so I'm going to estimate, but it is close to what I'm going to say, something like 90-some% of the guns that fall into the cartels and the criminals of Mexico are all coming from America. So why don't you stop, you know, getting all of these guns over the border, and maybe we wouldn't have as much fentanyl over here. You know, like, why don't we continue to work together and make some good decisions for both of our countries, you know, and that'll the outcome will be better. Beneficial to both of us here, like work together. Yeah. But he's not going to do that. Justin Trudeau did come out. I love Justin Trudeau coming out, and people think that Canada is just Tim Hortons hockey and I don't know, polite people. Right. But it's a lot more than that. Justin Trudeau did come out and talk about some of these tariffs that are supposed to still take effect on Canada tomorrow. Although Trump did say he was going to sit down with Justin Trudeau. But this is what he had to say.
I am announcing Canada will be responding to the U.S. trade action with 25% tariffs against $155 billion worth of American goods. I want to speak directly to Americans, our closest friends and neighbors. This is a choice that, yes, will harm Canadians, but beyond that, it will have real consequences for you, the American people. As I have consistently said, tariffs against Canada will put your jobs at risk, potentially shutting down American auto assembly plants and other manufacturing facilities. They will raise costs for you, including food at the grocery stores and gas at the pump.
I mean, that is, it's not only a threat, but could be a promise, because a lot of people don't realize we get a lot of our fine metals and even like stuff like aluminum and steel from Canada. So when he talks about you losing your job at the auto manufacturing plant, it's a good possibility. A lot of those northeastern states are also supplied with a lot of electricity from Canada. So this is not a game that we want to get into here.
Yeah. You're talking about gas and electricity. Those are obviously important things, but let me speak to the megas in the red state. They're going to cut off alcohol and beer supplies. You're going to lose all your Canadian liquors and beers and everything else. And yes, it is another fuck around and find out. And Canada, I've heard from multiple officials up there, not directly, they're not texting me or anything, but in the news cycle, saying that essentially, we're not going to blink, we're not going to back down. We don't care if this is a long-term battle. We're a big, strong country. We can take the hit for a while. Other smaller countries, maybe Mexico, but certainly some others, if this, you know, expands, like, they may not be able to bluff for too long, but Canada can. And they seem pretty resilient in the fact that they're not just going to cave in to whatever Trump's asking for. And they're sure as fuck not going to become the 51st state as Trump keeps threatening and hanging over their heads. So, you know, Trudeau, who I know is his time with us is limited, but they're going to stand strong. And can I just point out real quick, Justin Trudeau, what a good-looking man. I don't want to be accused of only pointing out when older women look good. I just want to point out that Trudeau's a dilf, okay?
You want to have sex with him?
I'm just declaring him that. It's not a literal statement. We covered this on the last show. Okay. It's a declaration, not a proclamation. Okay. Or is it a proclamation? I'm just saying he's a good-looking human being, because I can see beauty in all genders, Nick.
And you know what, Steve? He is a good-looking human being from the inside out. He's a good-looking guy. So yeah,
we're all more than our beauty. Otherwise, what would I be? But I was just a good-looking guy. I mean, we all have inner strengths as well, just like Trudeau. And I hope he stands freaking strong as well as all the others against all of the shenanigans going on. Yeah. And by the way, just to circle back to the point you made setting this up, most fentanyl is not grown in fields in Mexico or Central America like marijuana and cocaine and whatnot. Fentanyl is, of course, a chemical, the produced drug, and most of it comes from China, not from Mexico. And most of it is not carried across the border in a backpack. It's in shipping things. It comes in airplanes. Like, putting troops on the border is going to do next to nothing for stopping any sort of mass importing of fentanyl. fentanyl going on.
Okay. All right. You said it, and you heard it here first.
This is Need to Know News.
Right.
News you need to know. Start the news chant, please.
Come on.
News, 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 news.
Get over here, Nick.
Right here, dude. Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about somebody by the name of Bill Burr. Okay. You know who he is, right? Comedian. We like Bill Burr here on this program. He's a funny dude. And gosh, Steve and I were just talking about the fact that, you know, he's Billy Corgan's brother. Like, they share the same father. We'll have to get into that news story and cover it. They've been talking about it, talking about their father in common. So we'll have to get into that. This story is not about that. It is about...
And by the way, what a lazy, cheating father with multiple families that he named both of his kids Bill. Did he do that to make his life easier? Easier.
Of course, that way
he doesn't call either son the wrong name.
Right.
But I digress. Go ahead. We'll talk about the Billies at some other time.
Bill Burr just made one little comment as, you know, he was sitting on stage. And let's see if you know what this, see if you know what this comment means.
Free Luigi!
Do you know what that would mean?
Did he say Free Luigi?
Yeah, and he's not talking about Super Mario Brothers, right?
Oh, I assumed he was. Yeah, I mean, it's Luigi Mangiglione, the the CEO assassin from New York City.
Yeah. You know, that that obviously created somewhat of a movement, like it or not, created a movement here with a lot of people around this country saying, you know what, maybe sometimes these people do need to be held accountable, right? Well, now in the comedy world, you're starting to see that more comics are starting to speak out, maybe not on murdering healthcare CEOs, but keeping to that same theme, this is what Tom Papa had to say. You know who he is, right? Comedian?
I do. Another comedian guy. And by the way, was Bill Burr actually saying that seriously, or was that part of a joke? Like, Free Luigi, you know?
No, serious. Serious is serious, dude, okay?
All right, what did Papa say?
And Papa had this to say during one of his stand-up routines. I mean, he was doing stand-up, but this was a serious conversation.
See, these are very exciting times. They are. Some people say they're scary times. I disagree. I think these are very exciting times. When they're changing all the rules, we can do anything we want now. I say, let's kidnap some billionaires. Why not? We got a lot of problems. Five guys have all the money. Let's go get them. Who's going to stop us? Look, I'm all for you being a billionaire. Good job. Good job. You worked hard. You changed the world. You're a billionaire. You get to be a billionaire for 24 hours. You don't start giving that money away to poor people by morning. We're coming to get you.
Well, I mean, through all jest is a little bit of truth, right? This is the mood that this country is in right now of the haves and have-nots. And how do the have-nots get control of the havers? You know what I mean?
Listen, I mean, there's a legitimate baseline to all of this, obviously. That CEOs that, you know, are screwing with the healthcare system and the wage disparity. I get the animosity, the anger, the wanting things to be corrected. I still can't take that additional leap, though, to shooting a father of two in the face in downtown New York City or whatever, or the back of the head or what, you know my point. Like, I can't actually jump to the let's start assassinating. And by the way, I don't think the CEO is a billionaire. I mean, I know his company was probably worth billions, but yeah, I mean, that's a fine line. I kind of feel like it's the working man's version of the transgender hate that we're seeing coming from MAGA, because transgender are, as we know, like 1.6% of the population. They're picking on a very, very small group of people. And that's, I mean, Tom Papa just said it. There's like 5 billionaires. So, like, there's not that many of them out there. But we're all feeling good about teaming up and getting them. I think the billionaires deserve more hate than the transgenders, obviously. But
yeah, I mean, the difference being is that the transgender community is marginalized and don't have any power on the
other
side.
And it's not a choice.
So, right. Yeah. So you say that you're not down with shooting anyone in the back or the head or whatever, you know. What about kidnapping? Are you all right with that?
Well, I don't know. Who are we talking about? What are we going to do to them while they're kidnapped? I mean, listen, I understand the anger, but there's got to be a way more practical way to address this. How about just raising taxes on the billionaires instead of kidnapping or shooting them?
Doesn't, well, we've already tried that, dude. I mean, Kamala's not our president. Bernie Bernie Sanders didn't make it. I mean, the majority of America is saying no on that. So what do we do? Do we start kidnapping?
This is a sign of the times if you really want to get down to it. I mean, we have elected a king. There is a lot of lawlessness that Trump has inspired, a sort of, you know, fuck around now, find out later, commit the crime, see if you can get out of it down the road, like shake up the snow globe, where everyone else is like, screw it. The freaking president's got no accountability. He's calling for 10 forms of anarchy and, you know, breaking the system. So, yeah, maybe we should all do that. And this is the problem with the whole, you know, it starts at the head and goes down. Like, you know, Trump may have his own little agenda that he thinks is cute and fun, but now we got people wanting to hunt billionaires. How does that feel?
You're 100% right. And here's what you need to think about. All right. For some reason in this country, we have decided that white collar crimes, not so bad. I mean, they're not the same as violent crime or drug crime or anything. So, as we sit here and watch King Trump have one white-collar crime after another, you know, it's going to create this lawless society because, you said, it happens from the head down. Are you going to lead by example? Well, you currently are leading by example, and your example is that we can break the law when it suits us.
Listen, I'd say we're about a year away from the purge. I mean, that's what all of this feels like we're ramping up to. And we know Trump made that joke, quote unquote, during his campaign, as is with every other quote unquote joke he made during that campaign. It's all happening. He's not really going to take the Panama Canal. He's not really going to deport all these people. Like,
right?
He joked about the purge being a viable way to solve some of these problems. And that sounds like exactly where society is going. The big, the little, the whether it's the CEO or the immigrant or the transgender, the you know, the Wall Street fat cats, like that's what the purge is. It's just everyone's on the table. Let's go after whoever you can go get for the next 24 hours. So, yeah, the purge, sponsored by Budweiser, should be coming very soon.
We used to, we used to hear comments like this, like, let's kidnap a billionaire. And people would be like, oh, my God, I can't believe you just said that. Like, how, you're a gross person. But this has become so acceptable now. I'm not saying I want to kidnap anybody, but I'm saying, like, people are saying this in large crowds, large arenas, and people are cheering for it. We saw it with Luigi. You know, there was a, I don't know if I can tell or not, but it seemed like about, I don't know, a third of the country was like, yes, yes, go get him, you know? So, yeah, we're definitely in a different era.
I would say it was at least a third, if not more. It's become very mainstream. I mean, not only do you have like Bill Burr and Tom Papa there, but I mean, Saturday Night Live was making these jokes, and we're seeing it all over social media to levels that shocked even me, where I was like, I know he's some CEO dirtbag, but really? We're all cheering the fact that a dad got gunned down in the street? He's just doing a job. Jeez.
Yeah. And now you look also, I think that it's been three of the J6 people that were pardoned are dead.
Yeah. Yes.
That happened very quickly, right?
Yeah. I mean, one got shot on the side of the road by a cop. Others are on their way back to jail. Multiple for some reason, shockingly, for child porn or sex trafficking. Like, who would have thought that those were bad people that stormed the Capitol?
Yeah, I thought they were hostages, dude. You're telling me they were actual criminals? That's crazy. Yeah.
Boy, this is fun to joke about, but I do feel our society is imploding right now.
So. It is. It's crumbling, dude. It is. So let's continue with our accountability show. You ready?
Do you have news you need to know? Like, need to know news? How about news you need to know? Do you feel like you need to know that? What if we could guarantee only news you need to know? You know, the need to know news. I think we might be on to something you need to know. Perhaps it's news. Let's see if we need to know it.
Guarantee you.
I need a Xanax after that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say this is need to know news, and some people are agreeing, but I don't know if King Trump agrees. So, GOP senators want Trump to release the Epstein files, even if Trump is in them. So, as we heard recently, and as I am intrigued by, Donald Trump signed an executive order last week declassifying some of these highly sensitive documents that we're all wondering about, not Epstein. I'm talking about the assassination of Kennedy, assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, and the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. These are, you know, long-running conspiracy theory things. I've talked to my kids about the Kennedy assassination for years.
Right.
And, you know, as we saw in the movie, like, they just keep pushing, reclassifying these things. So Trump signed this executive order. I have yet to see a news organization answer my question, like, when do we get them? Like, what does that mean? What's the process here? Because obviously they're not out yet, but he apparently signed the thing saying he would declassify them, as he said again during the campaign he would. So this is another thing that some people thought he was joking around about. I'll tell you about Kennedy. I'll tell you about MLK. But he's done it. But do you remember that famous interview when he was asked if he would declassify the Epstein files?
Yes, I do. I remember it well. And I mean, he initially said, like, yeah, we'd have to look at that. You know, right. that could create some issues. So,
yes, it was hilarious. He was like, oh, I'll do that. I mean, I'll think about it. I mean, there might be a lot of innocent people in those files.
I mean, I don't want anyone to get hurt. You know, like, yeah, he was totally setting it up for, oh, shit. Like, I'm probably in those. So.
Right. So he did the first part. He released those. I haven't heard an answer on aliens yet, but he did release those. So I don't know. We'll get our hands on them soon. But Senator John Kennedy, no relation, Republican from Alabama, he said, quote, I don't care if he's named in the Epstein files. The American people are entitled to know the truth. The man's dead as Jimmy Hoffa. He's gone. His sidekick is in jail, referring to Ghislaine Maxwell, however you say her name. So he said, we're entitled to know what he did, referring to Epstein, who he did it with, and whether he broke any laws. And Ted Cruz also added on, saying that they should absolutely release the documents. Cruz added, we deserve to know who is implicated in abusing children. Some hypocrisy there, right? I mean, Matt Gaetz, when his report was supposed to come out, all of these GOP were like, no, he's a private citizen now. We shouldn't be releasing any of these things. But
keep it sealed.
Right. But Ted Cruz does hate Matt Gaetz, so he didn't jump on that bandwagon, just for the public record, I guess. But why do you think they don't care if Trump is in them? Do you think that there'll be enough famous Democrats to outweigh it? Or what do you think the mindset is there? Because I have a theory.
Because it doesn't matter if he's in them, dude. It's not gonna be an issue for them.
Right. Yes. You know? No one would care. He's the Teflon Don. He's the king. He's immune. What are you going to do even if he's in there? We have said forever, whatever Trump does, they will find a way to justify it. And they've already written off the fact that Trump has praised Epstein before. He's a terrific guy. We know he's been to the island. We've never seen any hard evidence that he was there with underage girls, but we know he was buddies with Epstein. I think their theory is no one will give a crap if King Trump is implicated in this stuff, but, you know, maybe Oprah's on there, maybe Obama's in there, maybe some famous Democrats are in there.
They think, you know, you hear all the time that, you know, Bill Clinton was there 5 times, Hillary went to the island and everything. So, yeah, they're going to pick and choose. Trump is going to be in there. And they're not going to care, but they will, like you said, be able to bring to light these prominent Democrats that were there, and they'll be able to shit stain on them. And Trump, it'll slide right off of him. It'll either be, oh, that's AI, or that's not true. Someone's out to get, it's a witch hunt, you know, whatever it is, he's not going to face any repercussion for it. And some of these other people will.
Because we have an actual moral compass on this side. So if we catch one of our people that's been proven, like, of course, we'll reject them. And I also love the crew said that we deserve to know who has been implicated in abusing children. How often do we hear from Republicans that these are just accusations, these are just someone saying something, like no one's been found guilty in a court of law? And then I point out, so if someone was found guilty in a court of law, then you disown them? Well, no, because then the trial would be rigged. It's a corrupt justice system. Like, of course we should know who's been implicated. That has always been the metric of, like, I want to know what the accusations are at a minimum. But, you know, when they want them, they're valid. When they don't want to, you know, have any validity to implications, then they just disown it.
It's all hypocrisy, dude. And like you said, nothing is going to happen to Teflon Don, even when it, you know, if it, I don't think he'll release him. I don't think he will. I mean, Ted Cruz, the only reason Ted Cruz is calling for it is because, you know what, Ted Cruz has to pretend like he likes Donald Trump. But at the end of the day, Ted Cruz hates Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Called his wife fat, so he'd like to see him go down, but he's not gonna be the guy to do it.
That's a good point. Maybe there's a connecting of the dots here, too, because Trump did say that Ted Cruz's father was part of the JFK assassination. He did release those files, so maybe he's trying to out Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is circling around saying, let's out Trump in the Epstein files.
And like you said, dude, I think it's funny that, you know, we haven't seen them yet, the JFK files.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, but as soon as he signed the executive order, you know, he looked at somebody and said, you know, get that over to Bobby right away. Get that over to Bobby. Like, you're not going to give it to Bobby Kennedy right away.
Right. Well, I don't know. I'll be curious to see when these do come out. And is it the full? Is it everything, really? Because, yeah, we've all been dying to see. And Trump did promise transparency. But it's like a magician, you know? They'll show you a bunch of stuff here so you don't notice what they're hiding behind their back, a.k.a. the Epstein files. Because I would agree with you. I don't think he's going to release them ever because he does know he's in there somewhere. And he doesn't want any more grief.
Yes, 100%. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But he's a lot of bark and oftentimes no bite, you know. It's all a distraction game like we've been talking about. You know, this is exactly, I don't know if you remember, but Steve Bannon came out and laid down this exact plan of what's happening when they were talking about Project 2025. Like, we need to go out and throw a bunch of shit up in the air that is so crazy that they're going to be following all these pieces. Meanwhile, we'll be able to do what we want over here and no one's going to see us do it. Yeah. They're following the plan.
Yep, they sure are. It's as if they had a playbook written out for them. So,
Well, he didn't know anything about it, so good thing he's in office now.
This is the only news you need to know. After all, this is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Nuff said.
Sometimes you wonder, is it news I want to know? Not all the time. I've been hearing a lot of people struggle with the balance of, you know, staying informed and mental health. So I heard from a friend, dude. I just want to mention this really quickly that I heard from an old friend that I went to high school with years and years ago. And we've stayed in somewhat contact. But he wrote to me on Messenger yesterday and was telling me out of the blue. He was like, thank you guys so much for the podcast and what you're doing, like keeping me informed with like news I need to know. And he said it also feels comforting to know that the things that I'm feeling, the things that I'm thinking line up with some with other people, right? Yeah. It always feels good to know there are other people that are feeling the same thing as you. So
it's really a spot on thing. And you shared that with me and I sent it over to Kennedy and her response was just that, like, I hope you two understand that you are a part of the resistance and there are people out there that really need that. They need to hear two middle-aged white guys that have no real stake in a lot of these things that empathize and sympathize with the way they feel. And yeah, it's helping some people through this whole transition. And that's phenomenal. They are part of the vocal minority. So kudos.
I don't know if it is for you, but for me, it's easy to forget. Like sometimes I'm like, you know, we're pushing forward and everything. And I think to myself, like, you know, is anybody listening? And I know they are from the numbers, but like, is anyone really listening, taking it in?
Yes.
And so, yeah, it's good to see shit like that once in a while. It gives me the fire for the desire.
No, for sure. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we've been on the radio forever and doing this podcast. Look around. We're sitting alone in studios. I know people are out there, but that's always the struggle of, are they really listening? Are we affecting anyone, whether it's with information or humor, whatever it is? So it's phenomenal to get feedback from an old friend like that, from a Tom and Linda, is that their names we're going with in Minnesota?
Yeah, Tom and Linda. Yes. What's up?
And speaking of old friends, one of my oldest friends reached out the other day to say, like, I was flipping through the shorts on YouTube just for mindless entertainment, and all of a sudden, there's Steve Harness and Nick Reynolds.
Wow.
And she had never looked us up on YouTube. Like, we just happened to come up one of our videos on her feed. But the funnier part kind of was that she watched for like 5 seconds and then flipped on, not because she didn't like us, but because she does not want to watch the news. She's got a bit of a boycott blackout going on the news cycle. And we start talking about Trump and the lady. She was like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You know, so she was like, it was cool. I saw you, but I don't want to hear it. So some of those people are still needed to be pulled back into the loop and we'll get there.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get there. You're right. There are some of those people that are out there. And you know what? If you need to do you for your mental health, then obviously that's what's most important. But like we've always said, when you are ready to saddle up, we'll be here for you. Let me tell you a little bit about this when it comes to people pulling their heads out. Jasmine Crockett, do you know who she is?
She's one of the rising stars in the Democratic Party that I've had multiple friends say, who is this woman from Texas that is just on fire and speaks the truth and doesn't hold back, but not in a ignorant sort of way like a Trumper?
Yeah, Jasmine Crockett's the kind of good friend that you would like to have that'll call you out on your bullshit and not hold back, but does it with style and grace. And yeah, she is a rising star. Jasmine Crockett was asked on an interview if any of her Republican colleagues are showing signs of concern and regret. This is what she had to say.
I do hear concerns, and let me make sure that I get this timeline together for the American people. He was sworn in on January 20th. That was on a Monday. We were supposed to be in session from Tuesday to Friday of that week. They canceled our Friday votes. So we have only been in session Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of the week that he was sworn in. No other days. They decided to take advantage of the fact that Congress was not in and started to unravel and break as many things in our democracy as they could without us being here. But I can tell you that even when we went through the CR vote, there were Republicans that silently or in the background were cheering us on and saying, this is wrong. Can I tell you that Republicans want to see Elon go down? I can. Now, will they come out publicly and say that? No, because they're concerned about whether or not he'll spend money in their next elections. But there are some. But I need them to understand that this is the time to honor the oath that we all took. Today, I had to enter into agreement with Rand Paul, something that I never saw on my bingo card. But this is a guy who made it clear. This stupid tariff war is just that. It is dumb. Even when it's somebody like Rand Paul, I have to agree that he is absolutely correct.
So it's great that, you know, to hear that some of the Republicans in the background are showing signs of concern and possible regret. But Jasmine Crockett made a great point. Like, it doesn't mean shit unless you stand up and remember the oath that you made to the people of America and actually speak up and do something about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is the problem. I'm glad there are some cracks for me because hopefully down the road, those will, you know, split open a little bit more. Maybe they lose a few key votes here and there. But, you know, it's like all these people from the first Trump administration that after he was out of office, they started writing books and, you know, doing the right thing all of a sudden. Yeah. So I get where they're coming from. You've got the world's richest man who will rain down fury on you. And you got Trump who will, I mean, he would take out a vendetta hit on his own mother if she said something against him. So I get it, but man up at some point. And I mean that to the men, the women, and anything in between out there. At some point, you're going to have to speak up and stand on your principles. It's fun that Mitch McConnell said that this trade war is stupid, but are you going to vote against any of these things? Are you going to do something to stop it? I also, we're only a couple weeks in. So right now, they're giving King Trump whatever they want. So I just hope at some point some of their humanity actually kicks in. But I'm not going to hold my breath. So,
like you said, just even knowing that there are some cracks in the foundation, we just hope that they turn into the San Andreas Fault, dude, that these things really start to get big and people stand up and they say something. Because as we have seen, Democrats, people like you and I, can stand up and yell from the rooftops. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, to the Republican side, it means very little. But if some of you guys can do it, like, it's going to speak volumes, dude. Yeah. Please do what's right. You talk about Elon Musk. You want to take down the richest man in the world. And that seems crazy. But the reason you're not doing it is because you want his money for your next elections. Like, something's wrong with that. You've lost sight of the game here.
Or they just don't want his money crushing them. You know, they'd love to have it. They don't want it working against them either. But the problem is, as we've seen over the years, is one person stands up and says something, they get crushed. And then another person says something, they get crushed. Like, there needs to be a coalition to stand up and say, there's 20 of us in this group. You don't have anything without our 20 votes. So we're going to be heard. We're not going to be bullied. But again, the mega people in the mega districts, they will buy into that. That, oh, nope, they're disloyal to the king. We're going to primary you right out of here with someone even crazier. So this is the fundamental problem we have set up.
Well, hopefully we'll see some things start to change. The crazier shit gets there. I mean, when Mitch McConnell, when Rand Paul steps up and says, like, this is crazy. I mean, you're hitting people that are ultra conservative and have done, you know, everything in step lock with Trump. So
we just need some real world consequences. Like, I don't know, maybe if like a helicopter ran into a plane because the FAA is understaffed and only one person was working instead of multiple. Like, maybe when something like that happens, that'll tip the scales.
Guess we'll have to wait and see. It'll probably be a big DEI issue, you know, at the root of it.
Yes, blaming on minorities, even though it was nothing but white guys piloting those things. Right.
Yeah. So let's hope the cracks keep forming.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
Yes, yes. All right, we are all about pointing out hypocrisy on the show. Doesn't seem to do much good with the megas. They don't own mirrors, apparently. I think that's what I've determined. So,
not the reflect back, yeah. No,
certainly not. But here's another fun one. Millions of people are saying that they get the irony in this new bill that's been proposed in Mississippi. Senator Bradford Blackmon has sponsored a bill called the Contraception Begins at Erection Act. Are you up on this one?
No, dude, but I need to hear more.
Even if I don't take it out and play with it, I still like seeing it. So.
Sure.
Be careful if you're going to do that in Mississippi, myself, because the proposed legislation would prohibit a man from masturbating unless it's intended for procreation only, Nick.
Ah, so you have to put it in the cup and then fertilize a woman.
That's right. That means if you want to masturbate in Mississippi, it better be within the confines of a fertility clinic and only with the intent on making a baby, not just that they're analyzing that sperm or something.
Dude, this is the separation of church and state, dude. This is no longer happening.
Right. It also includes criminal charges for people who would violate it. The bill proposes to make it, quote, unlawful for a person to discharge genetic material, sperm, without the intent to fertilize an embryo, effectively criminalizing certain male reproductive behaviors. Violators wouldn't face jail time, only monetary penalties in the amount of $1,000 for the first offense, $5,000 for the second offense, and $10,000 for three or more offenses per ejaculation.
Dude, what are you talking about right now?
This is a real thing. Although legitimately introduced, the bill aims to highlight the disparity between male and female autonomy, and it is intended to be a reaction to some of the ridiculous laws concerning women's reproductive health. So this is a real thing that got introduced in Mississippi, but obviously, it's never going to pass. Obviously, the governor's never going to sign it into law. But the fact that I just say obviously with such callousness shows you how crazy it is that we do pass laws to affect women in the same way. And there's nothing crazy or absurd about those things making it all the way to the top.
No, they make it to the top and then pass, dude.
Right. So, yes, 10 grand. I'm going to get a couple of side gigs if I'm going to move to Mississippi, apparently, because I'm going to have to pay the penalties.
You are, dude. And how are they going to know? I'll tell you a funny story, dude, because this ties into the church. And I mean, this all sounds very crazy. But, you know, before Rachel and I got married, you know, oftentimes when you're Catholic, you go sit down and you talk to the priest and you'll have some counseling maybe for, I don't know, a few weeks leading up to the marriage. And a lot of it is, I would recommend it to anyone, religious or not, because we talked about some things that we'd never thought about. Stuff like serious shit, like if you were to get into an accident and Rachel became a vegetable, do you know what she would want? You know, you talk about some serious shit that's not dinner conversation.
Right, sure.
But you also talk about your sex life with the Catholic priest, okay?
Yeah. Does he dim the lights?
Dude, this is what we heard. You know why when you're having sex that you shouldn't have anal sex? Because you're wasting your seed, and that is immoral. Because if you are not putting that seed where it can become life like it's intended to be, you're sinning. So he told us no anal. No anal. And he brought it up. I didn't even say it. Like, I'm really a huge fan of anal. And once in a while on my birthday, like, it comes through. Like, I didn't say anything, dude. He just brought up anal and wasting the seed. So this is.
Hold on. Did he specify that? Because that could be oral. That could be a hand job. He narrowed it down and said, no, no, no. No backdoor anal loving for you, too.
He said, no anal. No anal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a thorough job, I guess, he's doing there. But, okay. Yeah. Was he opposed to oral? Because I don't think that's going to end up in a baby-making oven either, though.
I don't think that I brought it. I was so weirded out by the whole conversation. I was just like, let's go back to my wife dying as a vegetable. I don't want to talk about this.
Oh, my gosh. Did you say, what about my birthday, Your Honor? Like, come on, really? Yeah,
come on.
There's no exception to this?
No exceptions to the rule. No,
and are you an expert on anatomy? I think eventually, somewhere in there, it's got to work its way back to the front, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's why your dad's a doctor and you're not.
This is how you get crappy kids, is it not?
Yeah, it could be. This is how Donald Trump was made, anally.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's disturbing. Did you feel more at peace with God after these fun discussions?
No, dude. I mean, come on. I was so uncomfortable with it. I went and told everyone I knew about it. And I was just like, hey, can you believe that we had these conversations? And the funny thing is the people, you talk to the priest for some of this, and this was a priest that we didn't know. And he told us the whole anal thing. But then there is a couple, a married couple within the Catholic Church that is giving you some classes. They talked about anal sex too. And that it was inappropriate and everything. Turns out after we left and got married and everything else, that those two people were arrested for inappropriate relationships with minors.
So there's projecting going on. This is an anti-gay thing or something. Yes. If anyone enjoys anal sex, then we can't, admonish the guys for doing it or something like that.
That's right. That's probably where it all comes down to.
I will tell you, I had a friend in middle school that no one ever went to the front door of the house. It was everyone. You always knew to go around the back. And they had this is not a joke.
It's not a euphemism. You're talking about a real back door.
Yes. The real back door of the house is where if you knew these people, that's where you went. And they had a doormat at the back, and it said a mantra I've adopted for life and that the Catholic Church should apparently adopt. It said, backdoor friends are best.
Oh, yes. I like that a whole bunch, dude.
So take that, Archdiocese, whoever the hell told you the stuff.
Yes, amen.
Amen, dude.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Backdoor friends are best, dude. I can't agree more.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Nick handling the news.
You're about to see what I'm gonna do here. Let's talk a little bit about the name Caroline Leavitt. Do you know the name, who it is?
Oh, is this the new press secretary?
This is the new press secretary. Let me start this off by saying that I've heard a lot of conversation. Well, a lot. I've heard a few different people in my friend circle talking about how refreshing it is to see somebody in as a press secretary who's well-spoken and good and everything else. And I said, you know what that means? You're racist, dude, because Karine Jean-Pierre, I thought she's fantastic. First of all, I know she's a lesbian, but I have a huge crush on her anyway, just physically, but mentally, emotionally, I think she was a fantastic press secretary. I thought she was really, really super good at her job. Yeah. And the fact that you would talk about how this new biatch is fantastic. Finally, we got someone in there good. I mean, I think it just means you're racist.
Yeah, I don't see race or beauty in women, so I can't comment on any of that stuff. But she was well-spoken, a good debater, and yes, clearly intelligent. And Trump's latest Fox News-inspired blonde bimbo that's out there, I don't think she is very well-spoken. She's certainly not backing things up very well. She literally said part of the Constitution is not constitutional, which is like, to me, saying that part of the ocean is not wet or something. Like, if it's in the Constitution, I'm pretty sure it has to be constitutional, but... Do you know what bothers me the most? And it ties directly into the last story.
That she doesn't do backdoor love.
I don't know. I haven't asked her out yet. But no, that she wears a freaking cross. Well, do we not have separation of church and state? Do we not respect that principle at all? Do we love the founding fathers or don't we? So I hate to see someone standing up there at the White House pulpit with a freaking cross on their neck. It just bothers me.
Of course it does, dude. And this is one of the reasons. She stands in front of the pulpit. She's got that huge cross. She's white. Did I mention she's white? Mm. And that's exactly why people love her. Let's listen to a little bit about Carolyn Leavitt that you may not know.
This is Trump's new press secretary. Her name is Carolyn Leavitt. She made a big splash yesterday because she lied about a bunch of stuff, but she's 27 years old. Her husband is 60, 6-0, okay? Ooh. When Trump first got elected, she was in college. When she was born, her husband was 33 years old.
These are the morals, dude, that we want standing and to speak to our country. Like, what do you give a shit about? That she has a cross on? Or do you give a shit about the fact that she is married to someone more than twice her age?
Mm, I care more about the cross, in all honesty. But this older guy, I didn't know about that. I assume he's a poor working class kind of guy, right?
Of course he is, dude. He's a very religious man. Just funny to see, all these people that I have run into that are talking about this, I think you should not say anything about the new press secretary being good. Finally, we got someone in there that's good, because you're screaming, I'm a racist and I didn't want to have a black lesbian in there talking. How could you say that she was not well-spoken? How could you not say that she didn't back up the facts? She didn't have the knowledge to know what was going on in our country. How can you say that she wasn't kind? How can you say that she wasn't in control of that room every time she was in it? Yeah. You cannot. So stop talking about her and just say, like, I prefer a white woman.
I saw someone criticize her saying, Jean-Pierre, however you say her name. She always had a binder that she didn't just know the stuff off the top of her head. Meanwhile, multiple press secretaries have always come out with notes. It's called being prepared. But Kylie McEnany, or whatever the hell her name was in the Trump world, she was press secretary. She famously came out with a gigantic binder. So it's just disingenuous attacks on somebody that, they don't like the way she looks or talks or whatever else.
And why would you not want someone to have a binder? You never know where the press is going in that room. So if I ask a question, I want you to be prepared to answer it. And you can't have all those facts and numbers on the top of your head at all times. So, yeah.
It's because they're anti-facts. They're anti-reading. They don't want some bookworm up there. You know, you're reading stuff. We go off feelings in this party. We don't go off facts. Come on now.
Trump always says, like, you guys like it when I just go off the cuff and I do the weave. You guys like the weave. I'm not going to read any of this today. So
the weave, what a classic. Also known as dementia. So, yes, we love it when you do that.
Yes. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. See our socials when you have a little free time.
Yeah, they're fun. Lots of good stuff there. By the way, we did do the mass following hashtag post, and it did freaking avalanches of new people for us. So thank you to the one person that followed back. otherwise, yes, we are on TikTok, YouTube, and Reddit. Lots and lots of people love it there. So go comment, share, like, and all that. And do find us on Blue Sky.
Find us on Blue Sky. Call our comment line, 844-40-A-VOCAL. And we'll see you next time.
Hi, everybody. It's Elon Musk. You're listening to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. These guys are great. I'm not used to saying something is great with minority in the title. It felt weird, but I'm going with it for these boys. Nick and Steve, two new podcasts a week.